Hi, Matt McDonough. You know, there are times when you're out there looking for the most perfect podcast for you. And I'm here to let you know that you don't have to look anymore. There's a special podcast network out there called the Tangent Bound Podcast Network. They've got everything you could possibly ever look for in a podcast. Everything. So, if you're looking for something to fill your ear holes, or just something nice to listen to, head on over to TangentBoundNetwork.com. Click on the channels link, and go ahead, listen to your heart's content. Here at Tangent Bound Network, we'll leave the mics on for you.
Hi, this is Erica Schultz.
And Claire Connolly.
And you're listening to Adrian Has Issues.
I might have to put a disclaimer on that.
Well, I'll have to try to... The editing is going to be a pain, though, but...
And I do chocolate rain.
Wow. Welcome to 2007. Did you ever see... you can hold it up.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Did you ever see the... Was it, remember back, I don't know if you really were paying attention on the internet at that point, like maybe 2007, 2008, there was, what's his name, Chad Vader? It was the guy in the Darth Vader suit, and he'd always, he was a fry cook at a fast food restaurant.
Vaguely.
But,
alright,
I gotta go quick. Yeah. Damn, I gotta be eating this shit.
You kind of, because like I said, your voice is much lower, and it's so much softer. Look, well, Kevin Smith already has the handle on filleting microphones. I don't think that's copyrighted, but we could get in trouble for that. But he had Chad Vader, one of the sketches was he was spoofing Chocolate Rain. And it's Chocolate
Rain. Oh, yes!
And he was
doing
that
one, I remember.
And of course, when he'd move his mouth, he was doing the Darth Vader breathing. And they're showing him, the keyboard. He's, pressing, two fingers on the keyboard. To me, that was almost...
There were so many spoofs of that, but the Darth Vader one was the best.
Was great. That was fantastic. Hello, and welcome to Adrian Has Issues. I'm Adrian. I'm still, completely just, I'm almost kind of shaking still. I have, that buzz. Okay, I've already had a bit of my Cherry Coke. I already had, that full mug of coffee. I started on my second vodka and V8 Splash. And I also brought on my Gatorade. So right now, it's between the electrolytes and the sugar and the alcohol, I don't know what my body wants to do. And my
body still needs a pee break at this point.
I had several pee breaks before we started. First off, before I start anything, I just have to say happy anniversary, Eileen. And thank you for geeking out with me for the past 2 years.
Well, happy anniversary, baby. It's been the best 2 years ever. And it's been a wild and crazy ride. And the way we celebrated was probably the best way we could.
We've talked before on the show multiple times. Let's see, you were on episode, 15 or 16 already?
Something.
You were on episode 28, and we talked to Marjorie Liu. And you popped on again for the Spectre review, which a lot of that review we had to cut out because I don't think we could really say a lot of our feelings about that movie out loud. Little NSFW. All good things, necessarily, but, it's a little rough for the chillins. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so many listen.
Look, you don't know. It could be the 100 downloads or whatever. It could be all for, 5-year-olds and listen to me make all these crude references. I don't know.
Okay.
But we bonded over a lot of things. Of course, I love James Bond and old Godzilla movies. But Star Wars was, I think, one of the biggest things with us. And I know... Even before we dated, we were kind of doing, Star Wars and chill before that was even So, we watched the original trilogy. And actually, eventually, we did get to the prequels, even though we were less invested in those.
Yeah, that was more background noise.
But not for nothing, talking to you about the prequels, I think, in a way, having to have someone have that back and forth with...
Helped you process them better?
Yeah, because you know what? I know it's popular to kind of rag on him. We talk about how terrible some of the acting was, but we then kind of got really geeky and starting to find ways in which the prequels really did kind of matter.
Right.
Like, if you take out all the bullshit, there were some surprisingly great moments in those. And that was definitely one of those things that it was fun talking to you because I'm like, yes, are they our favorites? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But yet, you know what? They have their place, and I can't disregard those movies as much as part of me wants to at times. They're every bit of the Star Wars saga as, let's say, you know, 4 through 6 and even 7 is.
Well, except for the whole Jar Jar Binks thing that we just totally ignored.
Right. And he was, like, one problem out of many with that movie in particular because I'm not making excuses for him, but one thing about George Lucas...
It was his fault the freaking Empire fell into Palpatine's hands. But, I mean, he pretty much sold out everybody, and he's kind of like... And nobody called him on that, which I think was kind of bullshit, but...
You know. Yeah, well, granted, he was just acting on behalf of, well, that was Padme, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So, if anything, you could blame Luke's mom.
I don't know, because she kind of was like, all right, in certain situations, and I think he just kind of had, like, a, you know... Oh, Misa's scared. Let's go have somebody save us, you know?
Oh, are you talking about, like, when he is in the Senate, or...
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and he just kind of like, all right, like, she's like, you know, in the event of, you know, okay, you have this power, but I don't think she ever really meant for him to actually use it.
But come on, he had his robes and everything, and he looked like he was on a gospel choir for some reason.
You know, right?
Like, oh, Misa praising.
It would be so funny if some pods come up out of the city with the rest of the choir.
He's got a tambourine and his big fan on it. Oh, I'm sorry. I had this vision of like Jar Jar Binks Holy Ghost in it. I'm going to burn in hell for that. I'm going to burn for that. I'm so sorry.
Oh my God.
And this is where this goes.
Yeah. This pretty sums us up in a nutshell.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's just like...
God bless the pygmies in Africa. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Sorry. That was an old... What the hell, Redknapp?
Well, guy's name now.
Cable guy reference. Sorry, forgive me.
Oh, man. But no, that's... Oh, gosh. See, now those movies are fun to me.
Because now we're featuring church choirs.
Yeah. But before we get into that, you know what? I'm going to be a dork and, of course... Tell everybody, well, A, how much I love you.
Oh, I love you too, babe.
And how awesome you are. So, you know what? While I think we've already given each other our anniversary gift, because, I mean, shoot, it doesn't really get any better than Star Wars and, like, kick-ass theaters.
Mm.
But there you go. There's your anniversary gift.
Oh!
I, you know.
Shoot, I didn't grab yours out of the room.
That's fine. But, you know what? I'm just going to do this on the show. And hope you enjoy it.
Oh, my God! Oh, baby! Adorable. He gave me a Godzilla pop, and it's the cutest thing ever.
And it's so funny. Like, I was in on a comic book store as well. Shout out to Jeff and Chris and the guys at Eastside Mags. I was in there trying to find you a gift because I was originally trying to find the Groot Dorbs.
Mm-hmm.
And they, Jeff was trying to push, like, the larger one on me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I already got you, like, 2 other Groots. And I'm like, that kind of felt redundant. And after already picking up my comics, and then I saw that just as I was leaving, and he's like, is anybody buying this? Like, nope. I was like, yoink.
Oh, my God. It's so cute.
So, oh, there you go. Happy anniversary.
Oh, thanks, babe. I guess I have to give you yours after.
That's fine. But I just figured, you know what? I'll be a dork and give you your gift, like, on the show.
I love you. I know. We're such... total nerd love geeks.
I was like, please stand by.
Final chicken wow. I'm sorry. Wrong
no,
music.
No. So, yeah. Shit.
Okay, how do we segue out of that?
I don't know. I was going to say. So, this weekend, of course, being opening weekend for Star Wars Episode 7, Force Awakens. I had a lot of trouble coming into this, not this as the movie, but this as this episode, because, you know, I'm not, at the risk of sounding like a jerk, and as of no disrespect to everybody else, I kind of almost didn't want to do just, like, a review of the movie, because by this point, everybody is reviewing the movie, and I'm sure there's a lot of different views and maybe a lot of different takes on it that maybe... not everybody will pick up on.
Right.
But at the same time, it's just like, how do you not talk about something as big as this? You know, this is a big deal, not just for us, but in pop culture, because, I mean, shit. One of the first big sci-fi movies I've ever watched, well, made to watch, was not even, like, let's say, A New Hope. I didn't watch that movie until, like, maybe a couple years later as a kid.
Right.
My first was Empire Strikes Back. Like, it's funny. Most of my first movies were the weird sequels. Like, I saw Predator 2 before I saw the first one. Like, I saw Aliens before I saw Alien. And, you know, Lethal Weapon 2 was... No, actually, that's not entirely true. I did see the first... I heard the first Lethal Weapon first. My dad owned a soundtrack because he's a big jazz and music fiend. But, yeah, like, weird sequels are my thing. So, by the time I saw A New Hope, I felt like it wasn't nearly as fun because, like, I've already seen this ultra-badass movie and, like, seeing this dude get his hand cut off. Now they're, like, having fun and, like, they're practically, like, dancing and shit. But... Yeah, it's like we can't help but talk about this, so...
Well, I guess before we start, we need to do big disclaimer. Spoiler alert, massive spoiler alert.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to, if you haven't seen it yet, and you don't want us to ruin the experience, which it really is, this is worthy of the original three movies. It really is worthy and comparable with those. So if you don't want us to ruin that experience, you might want to turn this off now. Go see the movie and then come back.
I was going to say, yeah, do come back. Don't turn it off.
Yeah, don't turn it off. And yeah, definitely come back. Check it out. See how what you think. You know?
Or what you could do is listen to it anyway, have it spoiled, and then complain to me on Twitter at AdrianHasIssues, Facebook.com/AdrianHasIssues. I'm on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search Adrian Has Issues there. And please leave a 5-star or a 1-star review, depending on how bad I wrote this. And, you know, definitely leave some feedback in a review, because any feedback, whether it's your show is great or I hope you die in your sleep, all that is definitely something I could take into account and be like, hey, you want me to die, but yet you still listen.
There you go. Sign up for further, you know, information and news and highlights so that you could hate on us even more.
Well, we also have the email. If you go to AdrianHasIssues.com, on the right-hand side of the screen, on the top there, there's a section where you can drop in your email. So that way, you can get notice when a new episode goes up, so you will not miss a beat.
There you go.
So, yeah, we will be talking spoilers. Before we even get into the episode, let me just say I am a giant fucking baby.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yes. I cried multiple times, and not even during the moments where you should cry. I'm talking just the opening crawl.
Just the credits.
Just at once.
Just seeing Lucasfilm and the freaking yellow letters going across space.
Tears were streaming down my eyes. Like, it was horrible. I looked like an anime character. I was like the little waterfall.
Yeah, I pretty much had to hold your hands in this whole movie.
You know what it was? Growing up, of course, like a lot of geeks my age and probably those older, my cousin and I, we were supposed to get this box out of my grandparents' basement. My dad's side belonged to my father, and there was like a lot of his belongings and stuff from when he was like my age and, well, way younger. And the thing is, he would constantly kind of get on CGN, like, make sure you get that box out the basement. And I'm like, wow, it's weird that he's so adamant about this. And I don't think he necessarily meant for me to look inside the box, but it's like, I couldn't. And in this box, opening it up, it was kind of like I realized, I'm not necessarily going to go into great detail what was in there, but the stuff in there, like, I was almost kind of upset, but at the same time, things made a lot of sense to me in my own childhood. And I realized how much of my life coming up reflected that of my father's. Of course, Star Wars being such a big thing about, of course, the conflict between a father and his son and, like, you know, their strained relationship. Having seen The Empire Strikes Back first, you know, really resonated with me. Like, I don't know how it felt for you. I guess I'll ask you in a minute. But in that box, though, there was a newspaper clipping. And it was a newspaper ad. It wasn't even, like, a review or anything. But it was, like, you know, how they always used to put movie ads in the paper. And it showed little theater listings underneath it of Star Wars.
Oh, cool.
And of course, the year on there, it was, I forget the actual month, but it was, you know, summer of 1977. And I'm like, holy shit.
Wow.
This is the genuine, to me, like, this was like the genuine artifact. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
Whereas I watched it secondhand on VHS and whatnot. My father or my parents together were there. They were in that theater and having to feel that surround sound and, like, their rickety seats shaking because they're watching that ship, you know, first fly over their heads and everything. So, I don't know, for you, what was your first experience with Star Wars?
That I can remember? I don't remember. I mean, in 77, I was very young. I've always remembered seeing it either on TV or on VHS. I mean, it was just something that was just kind of always around. You know, and the especially the, you know, the original three movies. Well, granted, it was the original one, then Empire, and then when Jedi came out, I think I'm not sure if we saw, I think the third one you might have seen in the movies. It's hard to remember because the thing is, Sora was just such a part of, you know, the list of movies that we just watched over and over in my house.
Yeah.
And if it was on TV, that means we recorded it. You know, we had VHS tapes of it or whatever, you know. And it was just always there. So I couldn't really pinpoint and tell you really when I first saw it. I mean, obviously, I'm a little older, so I saw it with the first movie. That was just part of childhood or growing up. It was the different lines from the movie were quoted regularly in my house. Like, you know, whatever it was, you know, we were big movie buffs and we quote movie lines and stuff constantly. And my brothers had the C-3PO case with all the, you know, different figures. Yeah, my brother had the C-3PO. It was a C-3PO case, and then inside was all the different figures and stuff. He lost the case, but I think I do still actually have a few of the original figures that my brothers used to have.
Very cool.
Star Wars was... It just has so much meaning for us, I think. And I think you would agree with this, too, that, you know, as a child, whatever, like just having that fantasy that feel like the powerless kid and then finding out that you have a whole world, a universe ahead of you and that you can be more than what you were or what you thought you were. And then as far as the, you know, the dysfunctional family aspect. I mean, I had, you know, I didn't have a dysfunctional family. Well, I mean, what we do to us, you know, we put the fun in dysfunctional, but... You know, I had both my parents and my brothers and whatever. But when it comes down to it, no matter where you are in life, in the end, it somehow always comes down to family.
Yeah, and even the family that may not necessarily be blood, because that's the one thing I did appreciate about Star Wars. Even, like, let's say New Hope, and it's like, okay, eventually you find out that long after, of course, the awkward kissing and those moments that Luke and Leia obviously were siblings. Yeah, they, of course, came from a very odd household where they came from royalty, they came from Jedis, they came from these great seats of power in different ways, but yet they had two completely different experiences growing up. Leia got to stay, you know, as royalty, and I'd imagine lived the life of luxury, while it was a constant struggle because, I mean, of course, it's not like she had time to enjoy it.
She was constantly kind of put to work. Like, she was really, she wasn't a spoiled princess. She was a working princess.
Right, but yet she got to see this world that her brother never did. All he knew was sand and purple milk.
Right.
Or blue milk, depending on your color scheme on your television. Because for us, it was purple milk. And everybody keeps saying blue milk. I'm like, what the fuck is purple milk?
It was a grayish, bluish, purple. I don't know. Okay, it was periwinkle. How about that?
Periwinkle milk. And while I didn't necessarily sympathize with the Luke character as much in maybe those first movies, but yet, you know, then, of course, they meet Han and Chewie and C-3PO. So it's like, okay, their family wasn't necessarily all blood, but yet they made their own family, which, of course, growing up, I have my blood relatives and my sisters.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, my best friend, his wife, and then meeting you, it's like, I found my own kind of family. And it's just, it's funny, because Star Wars itself, let's be honest. I'm going to just say this, and this is what I feel. I'm sure people are going to probably hear this and turn it off. The Star Wars movies are kind of stupid.
What?
They're very simplistic in the grand scheme of things. But yet, those movies hold so much more meaning outside of just characters and stories. Like, it took on his larger-than-life persona. Because it had to, because otherwise I would not be bawling when I'm seeing the damn title scroll and, you know, I think about...
Well, I mean, I guess it's simplistic in that it's kind of the theme of good versus evil and conflicted family. In that sense, okay, yeah, you could kind of break, you know, in church and state, and there's a lot of themes kind of mixed in with it. But it is a metaphor for so much, you know, and all those things that it is... Though simple, it was simple but complicated. Everything kind of intertwines in a way, and it's basically representative of life, you know, and all the conflicts that we kind of deal with.
Or the conflicts that we have over breakfast.
Yeah, you know, you know, that we just, you know, kind of deal with on a daily basis or even just philosophically or what have you. But it was a way of kind of dealing with life and all those issues, but on a... grander, more hopeful scale, I guess. You know, like
I guess it depends on where you lean, though, because as we found out today, because we were trying to wait until we got on microphone to talk about the movie,
and we just could not.
We couldn't stop. But what was interesting about that discussion was the fact that, I mean, we did start out talking about, okay, in episode 7, we love this character, we love these moments.
Mm-hmm.
We maybe hated other moments, which I'm sure we'll tap into eventually. But the general idea of, I want to say, where we find ourselves come episode 7. because it's a quite literal 30-year gap.
Right.
If not, maybe a little bit more than that, because let's say 1977. So yeah, it's about a little over 30 years. What was cool about Episode 7 is, as opposed to, let's say, the prequels that try to place you in the setting of this is, you know, 30 years in the past, or however, maybe, let's say, 20 years in the past.
Right.
This kind of took place. The characters find themselves where they would be in 30 years. It's not too much of a stretch that Han and Leia are dang near senior citizens at this point. The world's in a different place, but it's in a very familiar place.
Yeah.
Instead of the Empire, we have the First Order. Mm-hmm. And yet, while there are mentions made, because we don't really see much of the standing government in this movie, there is something of a standing republic now.
Right.
And this is where we kind of got into this whole discussion, is because in the prequel trilogies, and as well as even the original trilogy, the balance of power rested between the two factions of the Jedi and the Sith. And that struggle also played out, you know, going back to the whole church and state thing,
mm-hmm.
it also played out in the political landscape, because while we complained that the prequels, the impetus of war was, okay, there's trade tariffs and embargoes and,
right.
you know, the politics of the prequels or the politics of Star Wars universe played out in the same battle that the Jedi and the Sith had.
Right.
Even if necessarily they shouldn't have.
Exactly. I mean, you still had, when the Empire, I mean, before they were known as the Empire, but the Empire in and of itself, they weren't all Sith. They were this extreme power hungry faction, as it were, that kind of wanted, they wanted power, they wanted to control.
Right, and they constantly, you know, were coming into battle with the Trade Federation.
Exactly. And but then you had the Sith kind of, they want the same thing, they want power, so then, of course, they're working together with the Empire, or the, you know, the space Nazis, you know, kind of at the time. And then you have the Jedi kind of mixing with, you know, the Republic government in a way that made them kind of a little too powerful as well.
Right.
So you had kind of that mix, and they're very much kind of symbiotic relationships, you know.
Right, because I was making the argument over breakfast this morning or this afternoon.
Brunch.
Or brunch. Yeah, I'll say brunch because, of course, I'm not telling on myself because I did not wake up at an early time. The idea that there's always supposed to be balance in the Force. But the problem is, by the prequels, the Jedi's almost had too much say in government when, really, if you believe the code, they probably should have been much more impartial.
Right.
The Sith really aren't necessarily evil. But in these movies, it's like, oh, you turn Sith, you know, of course, you physically get all fucked up, and you start wearing weird breathing and facial apparatus, apparatus, and you can't talk clearly. But yet, you know, we got into this great discussion, and part of me almost wishes I hadn't, because I couldn't help but talk with you.
Yeah.
But I'm like, damn, that would have been great for the show.
Exactly. I mean, we could kind of go over the bullet points, I guess, you know. Yeah, because the Sith, you know, if you look at, like, the Sith code, whatever, I mean, I don't have it in front of me right now, but it actually made sense.
Yeah.
It wasn't intrinsically evil, but it's kind of like, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. You know, or you could think of it like religious extremism or whatever. It kind of went that way, but in and of itself, the Sith Order wasn't necessarily evil, per se.
Right.
You know, and then the Jedi are supposed to be very impartial. They're supposed to be very kind of, you know, one with the Force and peaceful and coexisting and all that stuff. And yet you see them in a point, in a position now of having actual power and involvement. You know, I mean, one could argue that Palpatine kind of pulled them into it and kept involving them in government matters because he kept going to the Council and asking them for help. But they still went there. You know, right. And they kind of did kind of start feeling themselves a little bit and were kind of enjoying that position of being able to be involved under the guise of, or maybe they thought they were somehow helping. But yeah, there was a little bit of power trip in there with the Jedi.
Right. Well, I found the code.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the Sith code. Peace is a lie. There's only passion. Through passion, I gain strength. Through strength, I gain power. Through power, I gain victory. Through victory, my chains are broken. The Force shall free me.
And this takes me to the other Star franchise, which should be Star Trek, where you have kind of the Vulcans and the Romulans. And you have the Vulcans that are very much kind of like control and peace and emotional kind of detachment and logic. But then you have the Romulans that are very much about passion and emotion and, you know, and then they kind of had that same thing where then it kind of ended up becoming more of a strive for ultimate power instead of just personal power.
Right.
Whereas the Sith Code really, you know, if you read it as it is, it's kind of more about personal power, but then became a thing about ultimate power.
Right. And that's the thing, because the Sith, the wow, goddamn.
The Sith.
The Sith.
Say that five times fast.
And that's it, kind of that whole extremism, which I feel like, in a way, exists on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to now read you the Jedi Code. There is no emotion. There is peace. There is no ignorance. There is knowledge. There is no passion. There is serenity. There is no chaos. There is harmony. There is no death. There is the Force. Which is interesting, because pulling a really geeky quote, I think of that line that Vision had said in Age of Ultron, where he's like, you know, humans are funny. They somehow think that order and chaos are somehow different or like separate. And in a way, unfortunately,
yeah, you can't have one without the other. Just like the whole thing between good and evil, you kind of can't have one without the other.
Right. And I think that was where the Jedi really kind of screwed up, you know, going back towards the prequels and maybe even leading towards the new movies, where in a way they kind of sold their own poison. Because the fact is, they were supposed to be so impartial, and yet they found themselves dealing so heavily within the government, and then, in a way, using that to gain power over the Sith. But what is that if not almost the same thing? Because it's like, okay, you're not gaining power through the way that Sith traditionally do, through force and through, you know.
Right, they weren't trying to control the government, but they were definitely working with them and accommodating them.
Right, which is almost kind of just as, and it's almost as bad.
And, you know, and it was kind of like, just like the Sith and the Empire used each other to kind of go for the same goal.
Right.
The Jedi and the Republic, though maybe not having the same exact goal, they did serve each other. They did kind of use each other to kind of acquire their own particular goals. Whereas the Jedi maybe wasn't trying to, you know, control the galaxy, you know, whatever, and the planets and the trees and whatever. They were using that political clout and resources to battle against, you know, the Sith and
but what
and
is
the
that
Empire.
If not power, then
that is power as well.
Maybe it's not,
but they weren't
the same way.
They weren't, you know. And again, this kind of goes to that church and state thing, where it's like, okay, or maybe politics and your religious beliefs, whatever, should be their own separate thing,
right?
But they end up kind of using each other to their own ends.
How many times in politics, especially, do you get those people on both on whatever side, whether you're Republican or Democrat, and especially like let's say in wartime,
mm-hmm.
where people believe that their cause is righteous, their cause is pure, that their God or their belief system, whatever name you give to it,
mm-hmm.
basically that belief gives them their strength and that they're on the right side of justice.
Right.
That it doesn't come from just regular morality. It comes from, again, sometimes what we see a lot of is, of course, their religious beliefs, that that's what gives them, or maybe spirituality, that gives them just cause. And in some ways, that's some ways in right and some ways that are also inherently wrong.
Right.
And so now we find ourselves some 30 years later after the Empire supposedly collapses, and how yet, even in its collapse, now we find ourselves being introduced to what's known as the First Order, which in a way seems almost even more threatening than what the Empire was, because where the Empire
was more subversive.
Because again, they are now seated in government and using that to exert control, whereas I'm getting the impression, and feel free to hit me up on mm-hmm. Twitter or Facebook, what have you, to prove me wrong, but I got the impression that now that they don't necessarily have that foothold in the government, because I did hear someone mention the Republic, so obviously some government does still exist now.
Right.
Is that the First Order, they're basically that same belief, but without that government foothold, so it's like, that's even more concentrated malice.
Yeah, it's more like invading country, you know, than kind of, you know, divide and conquer. You know, they're coming yeah. from outside kind of attacking, as opposed to kind of working it from inside the system. Yeah, and definitely more of a threat, because now they're just way more destructive than they even were before. I mean, as bad as the Death Star was, you know, this new thing now is way worse, where they don't even care destroying parts of the galaxy to get what they want.
when we watched episode 4, there was no... We never, obviously, as a kid, I was like, well, what the hell happened to episodes 1, 2, and 3?
Mm-hmm.
We never got to see any of those early entries in the story. So when Vader and, what is his name, Tarkin, blow up Alderaan,
mm-hmm.
it's supposed to be this terrible thing, and I guess in a way it still is, because it's like, holy shit, fucking Death Star just blew up a whole planet.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we hadn't really seen much about those planets. We didn't really know at that point just how far their reach was. We just saw those bunch of dudes in, you know, weird uniforms being evil, just blowing up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, we saw them nuke multiple planets quite easily.
I mean, and not only that, but they would basically suck up an entire sun, the power of a sun, destroy that sun so they could wipe out complete planets.
Right. So in a way, they're causing, as you said earlier today, obviously the Sith are still in control of this faction. In a way, they're almost kind of like, no, I don't want to take it there. Maybe we should not take it there, but it's that level of extremism, even on that level.
Mm-hmm.
The Sith now taking people quite literally and pulling them into their cause, whether they want to or not, and indoctrinating them. Because as we find out, no longer are the troopers clones. They're people that they've taken at a very young age. Some of them were probably maybe even born within this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they may have not, because I'm sure with the character Finn, because he says, you know, he hasn't known anything but this. So he was probably
taken as a child. Like, he never had a name. You know, he had a designation, you know. And this was all he knew. He just knew that he was taken from wherever he was, and this was his life. And, you know, and then realizing in his first battle that, hey, all this thing that I was trained all my life for, I'm not really cut out for. You know, this isn't what I thought I was being brought up for, you know. And it's so funny because you knew that in the first three movies that the clones ended. There were no more clones. Then you have the original three movies, of 4 through 6, where I guess the stormtroopers at that point, they were hired or volunteers,
right,
or they probably have 401k and stuff, you know?
Yeah,
like,
because there's that one scene.
You know, and then you're pretty sure for a stormtrooper, like, okay, you know, like, you know, whatever, like they kind of were there. And then now you have them where they're not hired help so much as, hey, they're enslaved. They're kind of enslaved from birth.
Yeah, it's that same indoctrination that we see, you know, in the real world, where people at a very young age, like, are kind of bred for combat. And whether side you believe in, and I'm, you know, obviously playing the middle ground here, but how many soldiers do we see in real world conflicts are young men and women?
Right.
It's different there because, of course, they're led to believe that, of course, they're fighting for this, you know, again, that whole just cause thing. But here, the First Order took it another step and are literally just taking people and then just, I'd imagine it'd be almost like a Clockwork Orange, where they're literally just sitting them down and feeding them all this information to make them believe that. You know,
yeah, like
that
universal soldier kind of
yeah.
thing. You know?
But clearly, it does not work as well as they think it does.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you don't get the idea that it's as, you know, maybe it is.
No, they did have conditioning, because they were saying at one point when one of our main characters, you know, has his moral conflict, they were going to send him for reconditioning. And it's kind of like, okay, they were really indoctrinated and bred and to really believe in what they're doing, you know, and the other, you know, stormtroopers that kind of got mad at him and was like, traitor, you know, they really were brainwashed to kind of believe like this is...
It's kind of like the Winter Soldier thing.
Yeah, which is so much worse than the original stormtroopers, where you could kind of tell some of those, like, all right, you know, they were hired to do a job and they weren't really invested because, you know, nobody could shoot for shit, you know? And it was kind of like, if we're going to run, okay, things are getting out, we're out of here, you know?
But it's funny because that one scene where Obi-Wan goes into... turn off the shield generator at the Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
And you see those two stormtroopers were having a conversation. Like,
yeah.
Oh, do you see like the new, what was the name of the model ship that they were talking about? Like, they were just having like this completely normal conversation.
That
like
co-workers would have.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you're just standing around standing guard. So of course you're just bullshitting, but the clones would have never had that conversation.
Yeah. They were just kind of do there. Well, I mean, I guess unless you were, say, if you saw like the Clone Wars, like the animated cartoons, even the clones, there was individuality.
Well, there started to be, and that was the thing. They started to develop individual thoughts.
And the clones actually had names.
Yeah.
You know, whereas now you have here, in this case, they're actually all different kinds of people. They're not clones. but they don't have that individuality on a certain level.
Good point.
You know what I mean? So the clones lost a certain individuality as far as DNA, but inherently the human experience, everybody experiences things differently. And then in this case, you have actual different peoples, you know, different aliens or whatever these, you know, the stormtroopers are, but their individuality was kind of taken from them.
Right.
You know, and they tried to kind of breed them, or not breed them because obviously they were, but trained. So in all cases, the Empire, the Sith always tried to take the stormtroopers and kind of make them uniform in some way.
But in a way you couldn't.
Exactly.
So I guess we should jump more into episode 7 now, but it is great that you mentioned the Clone Wars, because that was something that was very almost harrowing to watch in that show, because how many times, like especially in the early episodes, were the clones in these horrible situations, and yet a lot of them realized, well, they were fully aware that they were clones and that they were expendable.
Right.
And it was very, you know, for a kid show.
And how they dealt with that, knowing that, was different. Like, there were clones that were very aggressive. There were clones that were maybe a little bit more sensitive. There were clones that were meant to lead and the others that were meant to follow, because they kind of took that idea of, yes, I'm a clone. Yes, I was bred for this thing. But how they handled that and did their job and how they dealt with their existence was very different. Even though they were the same DNA, which is kind of an interesting thing to think of, because you would think that being raised the same way, whatever, they would have a general sameness to them. But then I guess it's kind of like the same thing with like twins or triplets or what have you, and especially if they're raised in different situations, whatever, there's certain things that are very much alike, but there's always things that are different.
Well, there's definitely that whole nature versus nurture argument, because I know it's a stupid argument, but that whole thing of like, if you cloned Hitler, would he be the madman that the other general was? Or if you bred him in a different environment? And we see that now in the case of, let's say, episode 7, because like we talked about earlier, where you have someone like Anakin Skywalker, who obviously, even though he seemed like a carefree kid, grew up in pretty shitty circumstances.
Right.
He grew up in, like, you know, slavery, like indentured servitude, having never really known a father, because supposedly one didn't exist. Not going to get into all that right now.
Right.
But his home life was pretty terrible, all things considered.
But as a kid, I mean, that was all he knew.
But obviously he resented it.
I mean, yeah, he resented more how his mother was treated, I think, more than anything.
Yeah.
Because that was his only family. But as a kid, he seemed like a good kid, well-intentioned, whatever. And you had high hopes for him. And then it wasn't until he got older and was kind of told, hey, you have this power and you're the special person. Finding that and then thinking that all possibilities were open, he got away from where he was, and then finding out he couldn't save the one thing he cared about. Repeatedly, actually, because he lost his mother and then he lost Padme.
He grew up in an almost even worse environment than what if, like, let's say, for instance, if he would have had stayed in Tatooine and never interacted with anybody. I mean, whether you believe in a prophecy or not,
would the Force have manifested itself anyway? If he wasn't kind of told, hey, you have this and you can do this and whatever, would he still have kind of,
was he destined? Question.
You know what I mean?
Right, because how much of it was like supposedly meant for him, and how much of it was just kind of like being taken and put into these environments where he just was not able to function?
Just because you have potential doesn't mean you always reach your potential.
Right, and that's kind of like where we lead into, let's say, a character like Kylo Ren, who, spoilers, massive spoilers, if you're still listening and haven't figured that out, we discover pretty early on that Kylo Ren is actually the son of Han Solo and Princess Leia, or General Leia, who's still a princess, I guess, and things considered. But their son, who was trained by Luke Skywalker, clearly things didn't work out well for him. He turned to the dark side. Luke, feeling responsible for that, decided he was going to do the Luke Skywalker thing and be a baby and quit.
The Obi-Wan thing and... No,
yeah,
really.
But at least Obi-Wan's was like, okay, maybe, yeah, it's like, all right, look, obviously we're going to keep the kids safe, but we're going to dip out because Order 66 is clearly still in effect. We're getting our asses out of here. They're gunning us down left and right.
I mean, I thought Obi-Wan just, you know, left because he had the same thing. Like, you know, he failed in his training of his...
Well, I thought he and Yoda both, I thought Padawan, that was the idea. And... like, they were going to lay low so that way they didn't wipe out all the Jedi.
Yeah. Well, in this case, it kind of was the same thing. But, you know, he felt responsible, although this case was a little bit more personal in that he felt responsible.
Yeah, but it's like, you
dick. Because he kind of fucked up his nephew.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, his nephew still is his own person.
Yeah, but he turned evil.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, Luke, you piece of garbage. Like, dude, like, he's not the only Jedi out there. Like,
well, he kind of was. That was the whole point. They all got wiped out, and Luke was the last
one.
You
mean to tell me this whole time Luke only trained, like, just his nephew and didn't think about... Because I thought the whole...
No, there was no other ones that they were aware of, because you remember, all the Jedis, they were systematically wiped out. So not to say that there can't be somebody out there with the Force, but he hadn't found them yet.
He never just decided to just go out and, like, start scouting, you know?
But, I mean, that's got to be a kind of a hard thing to just kind of scout. You don't just intrinsically, yeah, I feel everybody who has the Force. And
yeah, but I'm like, in your travels, you don't see, like, there was nobody else who had potential?
I don't think that's the kind of thing that's very prevalent. I would imagine being strong in the Force is something that's something of a rarity. And, you know,
like, they don't hold auditions and shit? Like, yeah. They go down to the gym and, like,
okay,
you know, do tryouts?
Here, move this cup.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't go to the Learning Index or, like, you know, the YMCA and start doing tryouts? Like, all right.
It's not, like, a thing in the schools where, okay, we're going to test you for, like, you know, Jedi ability.
You know, like, there's no underground schools or... Because the idea was that, you know, the whole theme of, hey, you can kill the Jedis, but you can't kill the ideal.
Right.
You know, it works on both sides. But I'm like, damn, like, you sure did give up a lot. Like, he being family was one thing. And you know what? We don't really know the whole story yet unless someone knows more than I do about it. But who knows? Maybe Kylo never really wanted to be trained. You know, you ever think about that? That maybe it was really Luke's
Or maybe he bowed under the pressure of his father, his mother, his uncle, all these legendary, historic, and larger-than-life figures. And how do you know that he wanted to be just like them? You know what I mean?
He clearly had a devotion to his grandfather.
Yeah, like he, you know, and he was all. And what I liked about the depiction of Kylo Ren was that he wasn't absolute Sith evil. Like, you know, Anakin became Darth Vader. He had lost everything in life, so he pretty much devoted his life to being, you know, Sith. But in this case, Kylo's, he's kind of working his way up to that, and he still has that conflict within him, and he's very conflicted. And they show that he hasn't really transitioned all the way.
Much like Finn never transitioned to be completely,
you know, stormtrooper or whatever. And just like, you know, Anakin for many years was conflicted, and he was so trying so hard to kind of be Jedi, but the dark side was kind of pulling at him. And Kylo, you kind of have the same thing in the opposite direction where he's, you know, dark side, but the light's kind of still calling to him.
Or let's just call it what it is. The males in the Skywalker clan are punks.
Yeah.
Come on. As we see, like, we've been theorizing that Rey possibly may either be, like, I guess a Solo or, you know, or maybe even a Skywalker herself. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But...
Well, Skywalker, yeah, because Solo didn't have any power, any Jedi ability, but...
If she is very well, like, one of the offspring in this family, it just further proves that, man, the women in this family clearly...
Are the stronger ones.
Yeah. Because... Because
even though Leia didn't have maybe strong Force powers, she definitely had the better character and the stronger character.
Yeah, and much like
Luke was always kind of a wimp. I'm sorry, Luke Skywalker was you know, except when I was really little, Luke Skywalker was not my favorite character. He was kind of a whiny ass.
He was much like his father, and it's funny.
And yeah,
like,
Anakin was too.
We complain so much about Hayden Christensen's acting, but if you think about it, he's spot on, and it was so believable that this is the father of Luke Skywalker because. I'm sorry. There were multiple times in A New Hope where I was hoping that someone would take him out. He whines so many times.
Oh, my God.
Even in the case of when they go free Leia and, you know, they're getting shot at in the garbage chutes, Leia had to be the one to take the guns and give me this thing. And, of course, she's firing back. She's in the chute. She's telling everybody else where to go. Like, get your asses out. Let's do the damn thing.
Right.
Now, seeing Kylo Ren, it's like, damn, is the males in his family. Because when they slip up again, what does he do? But he throws the biggest hissy fit.
Oh my almost God. Yes.
Day, Anakin looks like Obi-Wan Kenobi compared to this guy where he's smashing equipment. The dude just standing there like.
He's just freaking. Oh my God. He tore up like a whole control room or something. And it's just kind of like. Won't that kind of fuck something up? Like,
and look
you
at
know?
It. Even his, like,
don't your boss get mad?
And think about the crudeness of his saber, which is clearly...
Yeah, you can see it looks more like flames more than a saber.
Like, it's somebody who clearly is trying to be this thing for whatever reason. I don't know if it's a matter of...
He's unstable. And his saber kind of reflected that. If you look at the saber, it looks like an unstable laser beam. It looks more like flames, really, when you look at it, than an actual straight beam. And that kind of represents his own conflict and his instability. Is that even his saber that he made reflects that.
And even, like, let's say the mask thing, because it's like he clearly took on what was, like, a Darth Vader type motif.
Right.
Which the Sith, usually 9 out of 10 times that the Sith are wearing any sort of disguise or whatever, is either to remain concealed.
Because they're horribly disfigured.
Or it's disfigurement, as we've seen in, like, let's say, Darth Revan and, like, you know, Knights of the Old Republic, who mm-hmm. clearly, more so than Anakin Skywalker, went through some shit. Like,
even, like, the Emperor, I mean, he wore that hoodie pretty low for a minute.
Well, see, him, it made sense because, okay, here's the same guy who's a senator. So yeah. People see him and it's like, wait, aren't you the Chancellor? Like, hey, that ain't me.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what?
No, but I mean, even after when he got kind of messed up and he was still kind of keep it, he still kind of kept his face kind of covered
except
up.
Except for
bit.
When he went to the meeting and he's like, oh, my.
Oh, yeah, I got burnt up. Oh, my God, look what he did to me.
Yeah, it's like, but my resolve has never been strong. Like, really?
And I'm the pathetic old man. Yeah.
Like, he just pulled like a Paula Deen, like, I is what I is. I ain't changing. Yeah, I said the N-word 8 times and during this city hearing. And Bail Organa's like, did he just use Rachel Stokes? Did he just call us what I thought he called us? Like, all right. Someone threw a ham at his face.
Oh, shit. What the fuck?
Yo, you remember that when Paula Deen got the ham thrown at her?
Oh, gosh. No, I don't think
Oh, it was an accident, but it was this thing where they were doing, like, some sort of food thing, and they're, like, tossing, like, hams they were supposed to be giving away, and she wasn't paying attention. They tossed her one and like, a whole, like...
See, it would have been funny if it was, like, a big thing of butter or something.
Well, no, she didn't took the ham and coated it in butter and
fried it. Yeah, fried.
Which doesn't sound that bad, actually. And that's it. I love the fact that Kylo, as aggravating as a character as he may be because of his behavior...
He's kind
of
like a fried ham. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
No, it's indicative of that family. And he, very much like his grandfather and his uncle, is kind of a brat. I'd imagine his home life was much different than his grandfather's.
Yeah.
Even much different than his uncle's, where...
He had two parents. He had
Yeah, he had clearly two parents who loved
him. Who loved
him,
yeah.
Where did it all go wrong? And yes, we are led to believe that the Snoke character has seduced him. But yet, at what point would they have even met?
You have this big time gap, and you think of episode 6 left off, everything's great, the, you know, good conquered evil, everybody's living happily ever after. And next, you know, 20, 30 years later, you find yourself back in the same exact place again.
Yeah.
But in an even worse kind of way. And it's just kind of like, what the hell happened? Like, how did we get here? And how did this guy, like, you know, he was the love child of Han and Leia, you know what I mean? And then, like, what the hell did this little brat do to get to this point? You know, and it's kind
Maybe
of is.
Celebrate too hard.
Kylo Ren's kind of like that little rich kid who grew up, has all this money, has all this power from their parents, feels themselves, gets emancipated, but doesn't really know what to do with himself and do with all that power.
Oh, so you think he's just like the spoiled rich kid?
He is, yeah, he's like the spoiled rich kid. You know, and he found out that he had all this power, and then you have this, you know, Snoke come in and kind of, you know, just like the Emperor did, and kind of manipulate him and tell him, yeah, you don't need your parents. You got all this, that, and whatever going for you. You could go places.
Yeah, but the one thing is, though, if he's training with Luke, and if he was just kind of being brought up by him, at least his powers, how the hell would he have? Because clearly, anyone who was teaching him, it's like, okay, unless they were actually out battling with Sith, how would he even encounter this?
Well,
dude?
Considering that people in the Force can sense other people in the Force.
Wait, they just, like, Skype them one
day? I mean,
like,
this Snoke dude, we don't know how powerful he is. I mean, they kind of imply that he's bigger, larger than life character than even the Emperor was. You look at his face, it looks like pieces are missing and he's still walking around fine. So I guess, you know, there is some power there because he's even more screwed up than the Emperor's face
was.
But, you know, we don't know where he tapped into Kylo and figured out, hey, this kid has potential and let me get a piece of him. You know, we don't know where Luke was training him. You know, we don't know where Han and Leia were all this time. Was Han living at Leia's place? Was Leia kind of traveling around the universe trying to fix stuff? You know, where from when everything kind of went to hell? You know, what was going on during that time period? And that's kind of where a lot of the questions lie, is like, how did we get here? Why is everything?
I'd imagine
the way
they're
it
probably going to use whether they be comics, because now, of course, being under the Disney umbrella, anything that's been released since that acquisition is now canon. So Rebels, I mean, I think Clone Wars may still be canon, but, you know, Rebels is bridging the gap between 3 and 4 a little bit. And I think Shattered Empire is the comic that is taking place between Jedi and now Force Awakens. But you're right, like, things are, it's funny, like, no matter how much things have changed, they've kind of stayed the same.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe that's sort of the point, because, yes, they blew up a Death Star, Emperor Palpatine has been defeated. That's all that really happened. There was no, and yes, they're celebrating what was clearly another, you know, decisive battle. But at no point was there any indication that this is the end, like, of anything, really. Because look at it this way. With each time they push forward, obviously the opposition is going to push back.
Right.
And especially if they killed one of their biggest leaders, you damn well best believe that they're going to be angry. And even if they laid low for a while, in order to build the First Order, you know, they probably just came back in greater force than they ever were.
Right.
Because, again, you can't kill an ideal.
Very true. I mean, and it's just kind of like, you know, when they wiped out Hitler, okay, they took off the head of this massive Reich. Those ideas are still kind of around. And maybe they don't manifest themselves on such a scale as the original Nazis did. And you have instead maybe the neo-Nazis or what have you. But those ideas are still around, but because they took out their greatest leader and took away the power from them, they can't operate on this scale. But in this case, they got their power back somehow. And again, the Sith are working with the, you know, the First Order. They still kind of have that symbiotic relationship still.
To me, it just feels like a very large group of intergalactic neo-Nazis.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you know, like I said, we are not, unfortunately, we still have no power in terms of governmental power.
Right.
We don't have that seat anymore, but We believe so strongly in the ideals of, let's say, the Darth Vaders or the Palpatines,
mm-hmm.
and the troopers. So we took on this persona, even though we're not necessarily the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shit, even though, like, their ships resemble, let's say, Star Destroyers,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they took on a TIE Fighters, things like that, this is not that same group.
Yeah, this order, they really kind of amped it up.
Yeah.
You know, they're definitely, well, I don't know, better funded, more people involved, more expansive, they're more organized. They've really kind of boiled everything down and very much more fanatical even. As we thought the original Empire was, the First Order, those are freaking crazy Nazi bastards.
Yeah, and that's really what this movie kind of deals into, is a lot of fanaticism.
Yeah.
And where it can go right and where it can go wrong. Because think about a character. Let's move on to Rey real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and obviously her story parallels a lot of, let's say, Luke Skywalker's, even Anakin's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's this clearly poor girl with a terrible family dynamic. In this case, we let them believe that someone out there she belongs to or can claim, or some, you know what I mean? But they're clearly not there.
Right.
And she's very resourceful from, like, her first scene.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she's clearly struggling, and you could tell that while she wants more, there's still that pull of clearly this is where she belongs sort of thing. But obviously once, you know, shit goes down, you know, she pulls it together and starts kicking ass.
Mm-hmm.
But yet she still clearly clings to those stories. So obviously when she finds out that, let's say, Harrison, you know, Han Solo is who he is, or mentioning, you know, the word of, like, let's say the Skywalker, she's like, oh shit, just like the stories.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like these characters also, they themselves took on this larger than life, even though you get the idea that in this 30-year gap, maybe, unfortunately, they became merely stories that they told.
Or they become more legendary, you know, right. With each telling, things become more, you know, although, in the case of Han Solo, they lowered his accomplishment because you go, oh, you did it in 14 parsecs. No, it was 12, you know, right. And they're still fighting over how many parsecs. But they were historic figures, you know, and the movement, the whole conquering of the Empire, obviously is a huge, that's like, you know, in our case, I guess us winning the World Wars, you know.
Yeah.
It's a big freaking deal, and it's in the history books, and those stories are passed on, and they're probably embellished and whatever, and our heroes are made even more heroic. And they're probably human just like us and just as screwed up as us, but they become more heroic with each telling, and their flaws or whatever are kind of dismissed. And kind of like when somebody dies, like when they're alive, everybody talks crap about them, and then when they die, all of a sudden they're a saint.
Right, history naturally, like, of course, like that legend becomes bigger than what history really teaches.
Yeah, you know, and she grew up hearing about these great things and this great time, and, you know, and that represents hope for, you know, for a girl who's kind of stuck on this planet, being an essentially not a slave, but obviously you're stuck where you are, And those stories are something that probably helped her get through the day, is thinking about those heroes and all these great things. And she studied it. And you have to think about something. You have to, when you're living in a place where there's no hope and there's nothing good about where you're at, you have to kind of go put your mind somewhere, you know, that happy place, you know?
And yet she was just amazingly resourceful, because at no point in those stories, and much like the women in that family,
the women were never weak. The women were always resourceful. They never waited for anybody to take care of them. They took care of their damn selves.
That is, of course, assuming she is even related to them at all.
Yeah. It's funny, even though she maybe grew up in a similar environment, let's say, as Luke Skywalker, she had a very different life. And she grew up maybe more like Anakin did, but she used that to be better. I mean, Anakin actually was very resourceful, too.
True.
You know, as a child, I mean, he was kind of, you know, he was kind of a prodigy, you know, and lost his way when he was older. But they both have that same, if you think about it, Rey and Anakin have that same, bringing the same potential.
But it's funny that, you know, I just thought of something. And of course, again.
But maybe, I think maybe the fact that she was hoping family was coming back for her at some point, that kept her grounded.
Right. But I'm wondering now if, in the case, going back to the Kylo thing. Because much like Kylo, Luke came from, he did, obviously, even though he didn't grow up with his parents.
He did grow up with a loving family.
And then played kind of the entitled brat, too. He's like, I want to go to the kitchen. You know, Mr. Oh, picking up power converters. Like, man, I need to go to Toshi Station, pick up power converters. Man, I'm never going to get off this rock. So it's like, and I wonder if, because I'm thinking this, how great of a twist would it be if it wasn't that Luke feel like he failed because he was tempted by Snoke? But what if just Kylo just was never going to be trained to begin with? Maybe he saw too much of what he saw in his father, or that too much of that family, like, this is too familiar, I can't train you. Mm-hmm. And at that point, Kylo decides to, you know, basically dip out. You know, he's wandering, you know, being, like you said, that rich kid, you know, that prodigal son going out and gambling.
And Snoke just kind of, like, swipes him up, like, hey, you know, oh, he won't train you, but I will.
Right, as opposed to being like, oh, you turned to the dark side and I'm not the pain, you know. But what if he was just that kid who just would not listen to shit?
You know, maybe Luke saw that he was going, you know, the way of Anakin and just kind of cut out.
Right, and he's basically like, look, before we even get this far.
Yeah, like, I know you ain't going to work out. You're a bad seed.
Like, nah. He put, like, the rest they failed right you on know? A piece of paper. Like, do you not?
It was like, yeah.
And, oh my gosh, there's so much more to talk about. But I will say, though, that, you know, because we really didn't even get into a lot of the characters. But what I'm going to do for now is I'm going to cut this short. And to tell you the truth, I'm going to pick this up in part two of our episode where we really start talking episode 7.
Okay.
So for now, that'll do it for this part of our Star Wars Force Awakens episode of Adrian Has Issues. I'm Adrian.
And I'm Eileen.
And we'll see you for part two.
This is Jake.
And this is Travis. And we are the Drunken Dork Podcast.
Tune in every week and listen to us discuss the finer points on superheroes, the latest pop culture news, as well as all of our favorite booze.
You can listen to us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or the Stitcher app for Android. And be sure to catch up on all of our episodes by visiting us over at www.drunkendorkpodcast.wordpress.com.
And remember, folks, you have one liver. Ruin it well.